Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Truth is our bitch, and funny is her sister. Welcome to our program, and thank you, Reddit, again. We had a wonderful time doing our AMA at Reddit today. Lots of questions, lots of great people, and it's a terrific, it was fun. It was just a lot of fun to talk to people and have a chance to answer their questions. It's kind of a chat that is moderated, and moderated very well, I might say, by the people at Reddit. So that was super cool. Coming up on Monday, it is the debut of the new free Phil Hendry podcast. And you can visit us at philhendryradio.com. We have two sites now. We have our BSP, our Backstage Pass site, which is, if you will, it's kind of the club. It's kind of the private club of the Phil Hendry Show, although you can get a Backstage Pass and join us over there anytime you want. And then we have our Phil Hendry Radio site, which is where you'll be able to hear and can hear right now free archive streaming 24/7. 24/7 archive Phil Hendry Radio. And on Monday, our podcast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And there's a lot of news, but there isn't anything in the news that is any bigger than this story today, I don't think. I mean, unless you think the Facebook IPO is all that sexy, which we don't. And that's just all there is to that. What are you going to say? There's a lot of people that use Facebook. I think about 90% of them, myself included, don't understand how the stock market works. But somebody's making some money on that. The other story that was happening today that I think is very big is that Van Halen, one of the seminal bands of the post-musical renaissance in America, the 60s and 70s, Van Halen came along pre-hairband and continued a tradition of strong musicianship and excellent songwriting in rock and roll as the next generation of sort of guitar army rock and roll bands. Eddie Van Halen considered today to still be one of the best guitarists to ever come out of rock and roll, and maybe in general. They've canceled their tour. Now, they are going to continue touring through the 26th of June, which would take them through New Orleans. After that, it is over. The rumors, and they're not commenting on why they have canceled, but the rumors are that, and I'm quoting directly from a source, they hate each other, and that David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen are arguing, and they're pissed off, whatever. Sammy Hagar, the former singer with the band who came in following the departure of, David Lee Roth in 85 and then split when they went in another direction after that. He said that he is not surprised by these tour woes. I'm just reading a couple of lines from the story. Right now, Sammy Hagar says he's, quote, awfully glad he's not in Van Halen anymore. At Mr. Pooh's in Redondo Beach, he has his own band, drums for Dark Horse, and he's joining us on our newsmaker line tonight is Jeff Dowder. And so, Jeff, you have, I think, a little bit more information on this, don't you?
Well, the information that that I have, Phil, right now is that Van Halen, because they're not commenting on anything, this is mostly coming from rumors inside the camp, is that Van Halen is honoring an aspect of their contract with the promoter, which essentially means that they are required to complete a certain number of shows before there's an out in the contract that they have with the promoter.
Who is the promoter?
I don't know. I mean, there's a few. I don't know who's promoting their show, but it could be. There's a few. There's Band Daddy or Bone Daddy. There's Mr. Fist is another.
What are these?
These are the names of the promoters.
Bone Daddy and Mr. Fist?
Yeah. I mean, that's just a couple that I know about on the West Coast.
But they're not promoting Van Halen.
No, I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Nonetheless, it is speculated that they are contractually obligated
Yeah, it's kind of almost, if you will, like a notice, you know, giving notice. Well, you know, I quit. Well, you can quit in 2 weeks. You know, okay, whatever. I mean, when I was doing, I remember when I was working for the city of Huntington. I was working for the city of Huntington Beach at the time, and I was doing boat repair. And I also had purchased a snowmobile, or not snowmobile, but a snowplow, which was pretty stupid because...
For the city of Huntington Beach, a snowplow?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good deal, and I was probably not thinking right. I mean...
No, that's not thinking clearly, man. Has it ever snowed in Huntington Beach?
I mean, I don't know. It may be, but in any event, I was working for the, that outboard marina place, and I was repairing... And I was, I was trying to get a frosty one, every now and again. But in any event... I'm sorry, Phil. I mean, what I'm saying is you got to give notice. And I gave notice, but I gave the guy like 6 months notice. I got angry at him, and I had to stay there. So...
Okay. In any event, we are talking about Van Halen.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a deal. This was a, obviously, in my, the way I read it and the way a lot of people who are in the know... that I have contacts with in the music business, they're saying everything, the same. They're saying that Van Halen's required. Now, I don't know what caused the band to cancel, but you said there that, there's rumors that they hate each other. We know that that's true because, they've commented in the past. I mean, David Lee Roth commented in the past.
Sammy Hagar, in an article here that I was going to read, and I don't know if you have that.
Yeah, no, I do. This was in Atlantic City. As a matter of fact, I was on a Skype call to Toby Bowe, who is in Atlantic City right now, and it was booking some dates for Dark Horse, and he saw the interview on TV, and Hagar said, like you said, he's glad he's not in the band.
What, man? Are you all right?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to formulate.
What do you want to say?
Hagar said that they're hard people to get along with, the brothers. That's what he's saying.
Oh, so he's saying it's Eddie and...
And his Alex. And Hagar says, I'd still be in the band if I didn't have to get along with them. Well, that's kind of a stupid thing to say, because what are you talking about? I'd still be in the band if Eddie Van Halen wasn't in it. I don't know, But he said, I'm surprised it took this long for the tour to experience major difficulties. He said, I predicted this was going to happen a lot sooner. I lost money on that bet, said Sammy Hagar. Sammy Hagar is, I think, really a great musician. He's a great singer. He's a great songwriter. He's taken some criticism because, he has been very vocal in his communications concerning, the off-world, civilizations that a great many of us are, communicating about.
What do you mean off-world civilizations? You talking about this UFO thing?
Well, it's not a UFO thing, Phil. It's a very serious, you're kind of blowing it off.
Well, all right, so can we get back to Van Halen is what I want to say here.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is Sammy Hagar is a good guy to, I think he's a guy to hear. And when he says... he predicted it sooner. I think it's, I think you need to, kind of look at that and say, well, what was it that Sammy Hagar saw that nobody else saw?
Well, then it wasn't that very difficult to see, and obviously other people didn't say anything.
Yeah, they didn't say nothing. I mean, here he says, he's saying basically that Eddie Van Halen's hard to get along with, and he's right. And one of the reasons why Eddie Van Halen is hard to get along with is he is brilliant, but he also, as you know, Phil, had a bout with oral cancer, and I believe they had to remove part of his tongue. And that's a very traumatic and very difficult thing to go through. There's no question about it. But, there's other people in this world besides yourself. If you've had cancer of the tongue and you are not talking good, and people are now at a disadvantage, first of all, you're a perfectionist musician. You want the band to play things the way that you need them to. And on top of that, now you are not talking good. And it's frustrating for people. And I can only well imagine. We've got an actuality lined up, Bud Dickman lined up for me. It's Eddie Van Halen talking. And this is him talking in late last year about the possibility of a tour reunion with Van Halen. And that's Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie, do you
pursue
that?
I do. I run the deal with everybody.
I can't understand it.
Go to hell. I thought. And that was from a...
What was that?
That was a press conference. So you're talking about a guy that is just a tough guy to get along with, and you can't understand him.
All right, Jeff Dowder is with us as we talk about Van Halen and the cancellation of their tour. The comments made by Sammy Hagar that the brothers are hard to get along with, the fact that David Lee Roth was not, the rumors are he wasn't getting along. So it looks like it's just business as usual there, huh?
It seems like it to me, yeah.
All right, we're going to be back with more from Jeff Dowder, and we're here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jeff is in Redondo Beach at the Mr. Pooh's Club, where his band is going to be playing later on tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have with us Jeff Dowder from Mr. Pooh's in Redondo Beach. His band is going to be going on later on tonight. You're going to give us a little bit of a drum demonstration, right, Jeff?
I was talking to Bo Dickman. He said that you wanted... To listen to a little drumming, because I do give drum lessons on Saturday afternoons and Sunday afternoons, and so I'd be happy to do that.
All right, but we're talking about Van Halen canceling their tour after the June 26th New Orleans show. It's obvious it's got a lot of fans upset, and that's what I've been hearing. I heard it on Twitter today. Dan and I have been talking about it. And I talked about it in the pre-show. I was talking about how, you know, any band that can't rise above their internal differences, at least to complete a tour, I think it's selfish, and I think that they, they're reneging a little bit on what they owe their fans.
Well, I'm a little bit of a different mindset on that. You are talking about Van Halen. You know, we're not talking about. I mean, you know, we're not talking about Rat. We're not talking. I mean, those are good bands too. You know, we're not talking about. You were talking about, you know, back in the hair band. And we're not talking about Def Leppard. I don't think any of those bands ever. You know, they don't rise to the level of a Van Halen that was arguably the best rock and roll band of the last 50 years. I mean, in my opinion, and I know a lot of people share this opinion. They in a lot of ways, outdid Led Zeppelin, I think, and if no question in my mind. And
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting hearing you. You're like, Led Zeppelin? I mean, yeah, Led Zeppelin. What was so...
Led Zeppelin was one of the most inventive, and in terms of musicianship, everybody in the band was phenomenal.
Phil, you know, you're talking to a musician, okay? So, you know, you got to be...
Are you telling me that Eddie Van... I know Eddie Van Halen's a great guitar player, okay? What about singers? Are you telling me that David Lee Roth...
Well, I'm just telling you that... Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm telling you that David Lee Roth was a way better, more, you know, front man than Robert Plant. I'm telling you that Eddie Van Halen's every bit the guitar player that Jimmy Page was. I'm telling you that Michael Anthony not only had great bass playing chops, he also had songwriting chops, okay? And I'm telling you that... And Alex Van Halen... I mean, with all due respect to John Bonham and the family of John Bonham and all of the fans that are everywhere in the world on him, he was like he drank maybe a little too much. I mean, he died, you know, so, hey, do you think John Bonham drank too much? I don't know. He choked on his own vomit. Yeah, I think so. And I think if you, if you drink at that level, it's impossible for you to be as good of a drummer. So when you put that, and I'm a drummer, and so I understand that. See, and if you're drinking, and I don't know what else John Bonham was using at that level, it's impossible for you to keep your chops up as a drummer. Alex Van Halen does not have that problem. Jeff Dowder, I do not have that problem, and a lot of drummers are not bad like that. And
well, John Bonham, let me interrupt you. John Bonham introduced to rock and roll, I think, a style. It was every bit a perfect fit for the kind of metal. We're talking about the hair bands, but that sort of that metal sound. It was a real kind of, you know, that club-fisted kind of drumming. But he also had a great deal of don't you think he had skill and obviously phenomenal endurance?
John, you're right. John Bonham, it was like he was wielding two caveman clubs. I mean, okay, great. You know, thank you very much, Mr. Bonham, you know, thanking us, really great. But, I mean, can we have a little bit of, you know, of a more of a finesse? I'll give you an example. I've got a drum pad. I don't have my kit set up because we're not going on till later. But I have just a drum pad. I'm going to give you an example right now, Phil, of John Bonham. And
you know, we're talking too much about John Bonham. I mean, this is about Van Halen and why they split up.
But what I'm saying is, Alex Van Halen, you're talking about Van Halen. I'm telling you, Van Halen is a great band. And they musically, they're every bit as good as Led Zeppelin. And when you say that they owe the public, Van Halen doesn't owe the public anything. Van Halen doesn't owe the public nothing. Van Halen already gave the public the best music that has been heard in terms of a rock and roll quartet in a long time, man. And so they don't owe.
Well, look, hold on. All these big announcements, we're going to have a tour, we're going to, blah, 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 David Lee Roth, new album in February, oh my God, and everybody was excited, and they knew everybody was excited, and when I say everybody, I mean people, you know, older. How old are you, Jeff?
Well, I'm 29, but I mean, I'm a Van Halen fan from way back. I'm a Van Halen fan from way back.
And okay, so that was going on. And now we hear that they're going to play through June, and then that's it, man. This is going to be a really cool summer event. And why is this? Because once again, they're fighting. Once again, they're upset with each other. Once again, it seems to me like once again, they're acting like children, and they can't even man up enough to look each other in the eye and say, you know, we owe our fans this. Let's butch up a little bit.
You know, I disagree with that, man. What do you mean butch up? I think the fans in Van Halen's case, and yeah, a lot of bands' case, I think they have sucked the life. Sometimes fans, I know this from my own, you know, career. I mean, our band is still playing clubs and everything, but still, you know, your fans will show up. They'll suck the life right out of you. They will suck the life. And Van Halen's fans bled them and bled them and bled them and kept on bleeding them until they got nothing left to give. And they're finally just saying, I can't do it, man. I can't do it, man. You know, I remember, we were going to play the Orange County Fair, and I just forget it. I can't do it because we played the Ventura County Fair. We went down and played the St. Felicitas Fiesta, which is their annual carnival, and then we went and we did two sets of Mr. Pooh's, and we went over to Hoagie Barmichael's in Newport Beach, and then they said, yeah, you know, can you play the Orange County Fair? Can you play near the food booth? And we're like, I can't give anymore. I can't give anymore.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the Orange County Fair. We're talking about much bigger venue.
Well, it's much bigger venues, yeah, so they're bleeding them even more.
But this is much more money and much more of a commitment. All right, we're going to be back with Jeff. You're going to give me a demonstration of your drumming and whether or not Van Halen owes their fans.
No, they don't owe their fans, and I'm just saying to your listeners right now, stick around. I'm going to show you how, you know, Van Halen has given it all and how a lot of bands like Led Zeppelin, they just gave up. Why? Because their drummer puked on his own vomit. I mean, he puked on vomit.
What do you mean he puked on vomit?
I mean, he
choked on it.
Think about that, man. Van Halen gave and gave and gave and gave, and now everybody's pissed at him. But it was Led Zeppelin's drummer that choked on throw up. So that's the.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Van Halen, do they owe their fans to continue this tour? Jeff Dowder says no. They've given everything they've got. And there's a lot of bands that gave a lot less, and everybody thinks they're just fantastic. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jeff Dowder on the line with us from Mr. Pooh's. So, Van Halen, you say, is a band that has not been given its due.
Absolutely, Phil. And
you think that the time has come. If they want to cancel a tour, they can cancel a tour.
Absolutely, because here's a band that, really pioneered a lot of different sounds and a lot of different things that has happened in rock and roll has been Van Halen and other bands that, people talk all they want, I'm not saying Led Zeppelin's not a good group. I mean, it's a really good group, But, there are a lot of bands that got talked up and talked up and talked up, and they're not as good as, Van Halen. And Van Halen hung in. Double-check me on this, but did anybody in Van Halen choke on throw-up? No. Did anybody in Van Halen, choke on, on throw up from heroin? No. Did anybody in Van Halen choke on throw up from, booze? No. Did anybody?
Okay, nobody in Van Halen had a drug overdose. You're absolutely right. And no one in Van Halen that I know of has had any real serious problems. I don't know of any arrests. There might have been a few.
The point that I'm trying to make is all these problems that other bands have, Van Halen not had one. And now that they decide they can't take it anymore, and they're tired of the fans crawling all over them, and the women too. I mean, look, I love women, but when you're Van Halen and you have every dude in the world, his girlfriend wants you, okay? That gives you two problems. You got a problem keeping the girlfriend off of you, and then you got all these guys that are, pissed off at you. I just think it probably is, it was time anyway, man. And I think the pressure got to him, and I think that David Lee Roth coming back into the band even put more pressure on, because Roth is pretty much, a chick magnet. I think he's kind of whack, but, so.
All right, you were going to give us a demonstration here.
What do you think of a lot of that?
A lot of what?
What I just said.
Well, I don't agree with a lot of it. I don't think Van Halen's a better band than Led Zeppelin. I don't think that David Lee Roth's necessarily a chick. I'm not saying David Lee Roth. See,
you're not looking at it as a chick,
No, but I know that. But I'm saying he's more of kind of a goofy guy. Well, maybe chicks dig him. I don't know. I don't know that Van Halen is a chick band.
Yeah. Oh, they are, man. I mean, chicks like Van Halen. Younger chicks like Van Halen. There's no question about it. And what I'll give you an example here, Phil. I was talking about Alex Van Halen being a better drummer than John Bonham. I'm going to give you an example of that. I've got a drum pad. I don't have the drum kit. This is just a basic rock and roll, this is just a basic rock and roll roll-in in just three-quarter time. Now, Led Zeppelin would roll in like this. 2, 3, 4. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Okay, I mean, I don't know that I'm what I'm listening to.
Well, I mean, I'll do it again. I mean, this is John Bonham, and this is how really simplistic John Bonham was. I mean, and that's good, but it's not. Here it is. 2, 3, 4. Like, okay, hold on for a minute. Hey, Eddie, open the back door so Joey can get the B3 in, will you? Open the back door so you get the B3. I'm trying to get my band. We're trying to get set up. My brother's working roadie for me, Mr. Henry. And
okay, can we get moving here though?
Yeah, no, but I just okay. So So Led Zeppelin, John Bonham, everybody thinks is so good. Well, listen, all right, let's take a song like Black Dog, okay? And Black Dog is, here's how it goes. Hey, mama, wanna make you move? Gonna make you move? Gonna make you move? 2, 3. Okay? Now,
See, I'm not a drummer, but that doesn't sound...
Well, it doesn't sound what? You're not a drummer, so you don't understand what I was doing. They start out with, it's Robert Plant.
Yeah, I know. Hey, mom, I got that thing, and then...
Yeah, and then here.
No, I know what you did, but it doesn't make sense to me when you say that Van Halen's better than that.
Okay, I'll give you an example of Alex Van Halen. You got Led Zeppelin, and you got John Bonham, a guy that was destined to choke on his own throw-up, and people are going, oh, yeah, what a great drummer. I don't think so. Okay, here. Hey, Mom, I'm doing Led Zeppelin, and then I'm going to do Alex Van Halen, okay? Okay, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, okay.
Okay, Mr., I can't hear you.
Yes, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm in the club. All right, here's God, man, shut up.
Hey, listen, Jeff, you there?
What?
Are you there?
Yeah.
We got to get going here, man, okay?
I apologize. I'm sorry, Mr. Aaron. Okay, here we go. This is Led Zeppelin, and then I'll do Alex Van Halen. 2, 3. Wait a minute. That's not how it goes. Hey, mama, gonna make it groove, gonna make you itch, gonna make it smooth. 2, 3. Okay? Now, here is one of the all-time classic rock and roll songs, and the cradle will rock, and this is Alex Van Halen. See? And I try to tell people that they never want to hear.
You're a drummer. What I just heard there sounded like just a couple of sticks hitting a piece of paper.
There's a refinement to it, though. That's the refinement. What do you mean a couple of sticks hitting it? To you, it's a couple of sticks hitting a piece of paper. To music, to a drummer, you're saying I've made it sound easy. Is that, what you say?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Well, I mean, that's what you do. If you're Led Zeppelin, if you're John Bonham, this is what it sounds like. If you're a guy on your way to choking on your own vomit after inhaling heroin, this is how you play drums. Yeah, here's how you play drums. Hey, mom, I'm gonna make it groove, gonna make you do, 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 2, 3. I mean, it's lame. It's lame. It's lame. Now, here's the Alex Van Halen method. And this is the beginning to, and the cradle will rock. Just imagine Eddie Van Halen's coming in. Like that. All right. Give me that beer, please. So what we have is a band that has pioneered an awful lot and has given an awful lot back, and they've given a lot back, and they've taken a lot back, too. And they've also given a lot. I mean, when you talk about Van Halen, you're talking about a band that took a lot, but they gave back more than they took. And the fans gave, but they took back more than they gave. So that's...
I guess that's a sum negative for Van Halen.
If the way that I described it, yeah. If I did it right, I'm not sure, but...
Well, look at Jeff. It doesn't matter. You're basically saying Alex Van Halen and all of the guys of Van Halen, better musicians, harder working, no drug problems.
No drug problems, no,
No drug problem, no criminal problems, no nothing. They're still out there. They're still hitting it. Led Zeppelin, long gone, and yet Van Halen is splitting up. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the fans are saying, they owe. And you're saying, no, they don't.
No, they don't, man. I just got done telling you why. I just now got done telling you why. And you're still thinking they owe?
Because I didn't hear anything there.
What I'm telling you is, here's... here's a drummer. Okay, hold on, Mr. Henry.
Look, you know.
No, hold on. Here's a drummer that's on his way. Here's a drummer that's on his way to choking on his on some throw up. He's going to choke on some throw. He's this drummer's on his way to choking on some spit up. You ready? Okay, that's a basic rock and roll 3-4 roll in split. Anybody in rock and roll knows it. Okay?
That was Whole Lotta Love?
That's Whole Lotta Love. Now here is a drummer, an Alex Van Halen, doing one of the all-time big, you know, jump, okay? Ready? 2-3. Okay. I mean, when you talk about jump, you're talking about a song. That's not just a song. It's an anthem. It is a... a highly recognizable riff. It probably is right up there with any of the great, recognizable riffs. You know, that's up there with, hey, old Britannia, Britannia rules away. And then another one would be do 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 do, sunshine of your love. And another one would be dun 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 dun. You know, and another one would be oh, say can you see? Well, right with all of those riffs is do 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 do. And I'm telling you, man, there's no way on God's good green earth that Van Halen hasn't given it all and given it all of it, you know? And for the fans to go, Van Halen, they canceled their tour, I think they're being baby-like, and, they're all, like, squealing for a bottle. And I want to just be here to remind people, look what they done did, and look what Van Halen continues to do.
Well, in the process, though, Jeff, you badmouthed a pretty good drummer, in my opinion, and a band, Led Zeppelin, John Bonham.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, what did I say that wasn't true?
Well, maybe it's true, but, you know, you coming on and saying, and here's a guy on his way to choking on his own spit-up. Here's how he plays drums.
And what was untrue about that?
It's not untrue so much as it's just an unnecessary slam. One area the man has an alcohol problem, I give you that. But in the other area, this is a skillful drummer and a man that contributed a style. We're going to be right back here. Hold on, Jeff. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on. Wait. Hey, Joey, bring me the other sticks because these ones don't sound good on the phone.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So what is it? We have Jeff Dowder on the line from Mr. Pooh's. We're going to have take a couple of phone calls here, too. We just found out today, and we mentioned on the air, that Van Halen's summer tour has been canceled. Because the group is just simply not getting along, and if you're a Van Halen fan, you follow music, you know that the group has been off and on with primarily two lead singers, Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth. The word is that David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen are not getting along. The word is that the band hates each other, and there you have that. Sammy Hagar saying that he's glad he's not in Van Halen anymore. Jeff Dowder has joined us, a drummer in his own right. And what you've been saying here, Jeff, is that Van Halen doesn't owe their fans anything, that they have been good soldiers, good musicians. They have not suffered the problems of other bands. That Eddie...
the only problem that they had was that Eddie Van Halen suffered from, tongue cancer, as we mentioned about it. And it's a possibility, you know.
That actuality you play to him not being understood, where'd you get that?
Well, I don't know, but that was me. I made the tape and I sent it over to Bud Dickman because I said to him, this is an example.
That was not Bud.
No, that was Jeff Dowder.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was an example of how a guy would sound.
How do you know what he sounds like?
the guy's, if he doesn't have part of his tongue. And so what I did was I just went, okay, we're in a press conference. Hey, Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's what I thought it would sound like. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I was trying to do that in anticipation of it being of the show.
That doesn't help my show at all, man.
Okay, I mean, you know, lesson learned.
That doesn't help my, no, not lesson learned, because you come on the air, oh, this is an actuality of Eddie Van Halen.
Lesson learned, you know.
No, not lesson learned. You came on and you reported something that wasn't true.
Excuse me, does Eddie Van Halen have cancer, or did he, does he have cancer?
No.
I mean, did he have cancer?
Yes.
Okay.
But you said, here's Eddie Van Halen in a recording. Well, if you don't understand.
No, lesson learned, you know.
Hey, if you say lesson learned one more time, man.
I mean, well, what are you saying?
I said, and Bud should have told you, you can't come on here and say this is something that isn't, in fact, true.
All right.
You mentioned the drumming of John Bonham and how you say he was happy. Well, by the way, were you going, was that kind of a demonstration of the lessons that you give?
Well, no, I don't do anything that complex with the kids, mostly kids that I...
Well, what you just did there was a demonstration of John Bonham that you call ham-fisted and crappy drumming. Then you gave us a demonstration of Alex Van Halen. Give us a demonstration of Dark Horse.
Oh, I'd be happy to, Mr. Henry. Dark Horse, you know, we're very proud of our band. We're now in our 14th year of being, you know, one of the top bands in the South Bay Beach Club circuit. And, you know, everybody who comes to the clubs on the beach, they know us. Here is probably the best-known Dark Horse song. You probably heard it too, Mr. Henry. Comes from our debut double LP called Judgment at Sunrise. And this is the title track. 2, 3, 4. See, I don't have the guitar or anything with me.
No, that's okay. But, I mean, yeah, I don't have a lot of time, so this is the song.
Yeah, what's the drumming and the singing? Because I do some of the singing in the song. Mostly most of the song is sung by Mick Tungson, who's the lead singer.
What's his name?
Mick Tungson.
Mick Tungston.
Yeah.
Like the tungsten tire.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe his family had something to do with developing. I don't know. All right, 2, 3. So this is Judgment at Sunrise. It's the title track for our debut double LP.
When you say debut double LP, is this something that you guys did yourselves?
Can I maybe finish what I'm doing here?
Well, no, I'm just... were you signed to a record deal?
No, we paid for this ourselves, but guess what? It sells out every, you know, time we do a show. We're selling it up front. By the way, if you come to Mr. Pooh's tonight, you can get a copy of Judgment Sunrise. It's the 14th anniversary of it, and we are selling it up front near the... There's a jar with hard-boiled eggs in it. If you come this side of the jar with a hard-boiled egg, and I think that what... Hey, Eddie, what else is over there that you got where they have? Oh, yeah, there's a jar with hard-boiled eggs, and then there's some pepperoncinis. This side of those two jars is our albums that are being sold.
Great.
Okay, here's Judgment Sunrise. Do-do. It starts out. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Judgment at Sunrise. I'm there. Judgment at Sunrise. You better beware. And you're all gonna go to hell when it's Judgment at Sunrise. Okay, so that's kind of just a taste of...
You know what? Now I remember that song, Judgment at Sunrise. And you're all going to hell.
Well, I mean, not everybody's going to hell. I mean, I didn't even write it. Mick Tungston wrote it along with Fresh Jeffries. Mick Tungston, Fresh Jeffries, Theodore McBundy.
Theodore McBundy?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a... He was named after some UN guy or something. And, okay, so anyway, so they wrote that song. And, I mean, you know, that's what hard-working bands do. And that's what Led Zeppelin, Van Halen has done. And I just think it's sad, you know, that people expect them and, you know.
Well, they're, guess what? They won that fight, and they're not going to continue with the tour. And that's that. How does that make you feel about that band?
Well, I mean, I'm glad they're, you know, I think the fans are, you know, need to just back off and take a cigarette break and let Van Halen do what they're going to do. And, you know, so I'm glad that they did that. On when it comes to the band, I hope the band continues. I think David Lee Roth is probably the stronger of the two singers. And I wrote a song, in fact. It's called David Lee Roth. It's called David Lee Roth Has Returned. And it was originally called David Lee Roth Is Back from the Dead, but I thought it'd be misunderstood. And here it's and this has got kind of a jazz feel to it, Phil. So you can listen to this 7/4 time. 2/3/4 Do you hear the intricacies of it, Mr. Hendry?
The intricacies of what?
Of the drumming that I'm doing, man. Do you hear it?
Yeah, okay. No, I don't, but then...
Well, you're not a professional musician, but listen. 2/3 This is called David Lee Roth Has Returned from the Crypt. 2/4
I thought you said it had nothing to do with death.
I didn't say that, but I mean, the original title is David Lee Roth is out of the crypt. 2/3 What's going on?
We're done with the hour, man. Thank you very, very much, Jeff. I'm sorry, but we do have to get it, you know, get into the top of the hour break.
All right, but I mean, remember, Mr. Poos tonight, Dark Horse, our set starts at... Oh, shoot, we should have been on an hour ago. Uh-oh. I messed up, man. I better get...
Okay, I'm hanging up on him. That cat, he's talking about John Bonham choking on his throw-up. I think tonight somebody better check him. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back with more at philhendryshow.com. Woo!
Judgment sunrise up there.
Woo! Phil
Judgment
Hendry.
Sunrise. You better beware.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We do thank Jeff Dowder for joining us in our first hour. We talked about Van Halen. That one thing we got to make a note on, man, that drumming does not translate over the phone. Our number, again, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com, where you, with a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show right now. We are on Phil TV in HD from the El Pacifico, and you can watch our program as we perform it every night. A variety of different camera angles and so on and so forth. And that's kind of our little private BSP club. And then over at philhendryradio.com, you can hear continuous streaming archive material, as well as... starting Monday, our podcast, the new free Phil Hendry Show podcast. That's starting Monday at philhendryradio.com. We're going to talk a little bit about the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation with Dean Wheeler, who is in Florida. I don't know that Dean is anywhere near, I don't know that he's anywhere near Orlando or near Sanford. I think you are in Orlando, Dean, right?
I am, Phil, and have been here since... early in the week, just getting a feel for the area and talking to people and trying to the best of my ability, Phil, trying to soak up the community a little bit.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I want to get a feel for how people are reacting to this trial and this very tragic incident. I know that something was reported yesterday. I read it. And I kind of had to stop myself, and I took a few notes because I knew it would be a very important piece of information. They're trying, I think, at this early stage to paint a picture of Trayvon that's decidedly negative. They mentioned that he had THC in his blood. I'm saying that now, Phil, because the cat's out of the bag. Had I not known, or had it not been made public... And I think it was made public by a defense. It was made public by the prosecution, which was absolutely the stupidest thing that they could have done. Because what that's doing is making the young man, that the state of Florida is trying to get the guy that killed him into the jail. Okay, so the young man that was shot is the man that the state of Florida is trying to get his killer into the jail. And for them to say, oh, And we also have these results that Trayvon Martin had THC in his blood. I think it prejudices their case.
Well, they have to share that. I mean, if that is the finding of the coroner, it's going to be discovered.
Well, yes, it's going to be discovered, but they made a very public display of it, and the defense is going to latch on to this, and they're going to make an even bigger issue out of it. And what is that issue going to be? The defense, because they represent George Zimmerman, who I think, if nothing else, I think we understand him not to be maybe the most sophisticated man. I don't know a lot about him. But they're going to say that Trayvon Martin had THC in his blood, and that somehow makes him a drug user, which, of course, is absolutely untrue. And they're going to try to be prejudiced against him.
Why do you say that's absolutely untrue? I mean, don't you think the THC is a drug?
Well, I think you're talking about cannabis.
Yeah, cannabis, marijuana.
Well, do you?
Well, I think it's a drug. I mean, we know it's a drug because it's used by some doctors as a curative, as a kind of a medicine, you know.
No, but I mean, do you think it's a drug like heroin?
No, I don't think that, but that's not what you said. You said that... You said it's not. Of course, it's not a drug.
Well, it's not. When you say that someone had THC in their blood, and you say THC, and you don't say marijuana, and that's what I really take grave exception to, was the prosecutor's office, the district attorney's office.
Who's the DA prosecuting this, by the way?
The DA, the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
The DA prosecuting this on behalf of the state of Florida is. Is Mellon, Andrew Mellon.
Andrew Mellon, okay. That's the same name of the lady in the John Edwards case.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. There's a lot of things in this case, Phil, and I think the prosecutor, by going public with the THC got into his blood, I think they have made a big mistake. Marijuana, and they're going to try now on the defense side, they're going to try to make Trayvon a drug addict and a drug user and somehow say that that's, you know, why he got shot. And so I think that that was a big mistake.
Well, what are they going to do? They can't hide it.
Well, why did they can't hide it. But they don't have to come out and make a big announcement about it. And I don't even think they really had to make that much of an announcement because it's not heroin. It's not heroin. And by announcing that Trayvon Martin had THC in his blood, they have given the defense, the George Zimmerman side, the opportunity to say that Trayvon Martin is some kind of a drug addict and they're going to crucify him. And I know you and a lot of people don't want to see that happen to this young man's memory.
And well, no, hold on for just a minute. No, I don't. But I don't want to see any. I don't want to see Mr. Zimmerman crucified.
Well, but George Zimmerman, it's a different story. George Zimmerman took his revolver, shoved it up against the belly of Trayvon Martin, and fired 3 or 4 times.
And whoa, that's not. I didn't see that. Where are you seeing that?
I think that was released by the...
No, I did not see that.
Well, then you're apparently missing the news because there was contact powder burn, and
I saw that there were contact and there was contact burns and there was a powder burns, but I didn't see that the pistol was shoved up into the kid's belly.
It was shoved up into his chest, and
that's different from the belly.
Oh, okay. How's that?
You're going to die a lot slower and a lot more painfully getting shot in the belly than if the bullet goes right to the chest and to the heart. I realize that's not much of a consolation.
Well, I, Mr. Henry, all I know is reading this, George Zimmerman apparently is a little bit of a scaredy cat because as soon as this kid turned on him and said, "Why are you following me?" he took that pistol and shoved it up into the kid's belly. Or not his belly, but...
When you say he shoved it up into the kid's belly, it's decidedly different from saying that he took the pistol and stuck it in the guy's chest. Now,
because he got scared because the kid said, "Why are you following me?"
We don't know that that's the case either. We don't know when he took that gun and put it, made contact with Trayvon Martin with that gun.
I'm looking at what was released yesterday, and it says there was contact burns, that the pistol was pressed against Trayvon Martin, and this was after Trayvon said, "Why are you following me?" And Zimmerman said, "Guess what? Happy birthday." Bang, 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 bang. Body goes down. And
you know what? I got to tell you something. If, with all due respect, Dean, you're not laying this out in a very good way.
What am I missing here, Phil? I'm telling you what I'm finding in this report.
I didn't hear anything about multiple bang, 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 bang. How many times was this young man shot?
What I'm giving you, Phil, it...
No, but can you give me, since you're there and you have seen this, how many times was he shot?
I don't know the actual number, but I'm telling you that it was more than once, and that the pistol was shoved up into his chest or his belly, which...
No, into his chest. This much I do remember.
Well, what? You don't need me then, because I'm telling you what I remember.
All right.
And... here's how it went down, as I understand it. It was George Zimmerman getting out of the truck, looking, he claims he was looking for something, I guess, a sign. And then comes Trayvon Martin. "Why are you following me?" Out comes the pistol, shoved up into Trayvon Martin's, okay, let's not say his belly. Let's say, between his belly and his chest. We'll split the difference. And
I did not hear anything about a belly. I heard chest.
We'll split the difference.
I didn't hear anything about belly. I don't know why you would have to split the difference.
Puts the gun. Bang. Bang, 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 bang. The kid hits the deck. Zimmerman dives into the cab of the truck. People said they heard rubber or they heard squealing tires.
I don't remember any of this.
Phil, did you read the entire report?
No, I didn't. So what you're describing for me here is that the gun goes up into his belly, he fires six times, he dives into the cab of his truck, and he squeals away.
I imagine that that's how it went.
You imagine that's how it went, but you don't know. You don't know. All you have is what so far has been discovered by the coroner, and what's been attested to in police interviews by witnesses, and we haven't even got a trial yet.
What I do know, Phil, and what you know, is that they said Trayvon had THC, which makes it sound like it's some heroin or a crack cocaine kind of drug, when in point of fact, it was marijuana. And I think they said THC because they want to prejudice the case against Trayvon Martin.
All right, hold the line here with Dean Wheeler, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about this report as of yesterday on the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman situation. Bang, 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 bang. There's not multiple shots. I heard nothing about the gun going into a guy's belly, and I sure as hell didn't hear anything about him diving into the truck and rubber. But the THC, that part... All right, I'll go with Dina. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Bang, 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 bang. Hits the deck. Then he does.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, but he is in Orlando, Florida tonight in anticipation of this of the George Zimmerman trial in the shooting of Trayvon Martin. Now, the information that came out yesterday was information having to do, it was from the coroner. There was also some eyewitness, a little bit of the eyewitness testimony, or I should say interviews, that was sort of put out there. But most of it was what the coroner found in terms of the powder burns and everything.
That is right, Phil. And they at the time, and also the THC in Trayvon's blood. And I found that very prejudiced. I think that they didn't need to give the defense that kind of ammunition. because you know what they're going to do with it. They're going to say that because he had THC in his blood, that he's, a hard drug user, and it just isn't the case. We also have...
Give me what the coroner and what the police have. What did they have? And let's start with the beginning. When you say that Zimmerman's truck is pulled over.
All right. George Zimmerman pulled over, as far as anyone can tell, to urinate. And to look at a street sign and to urinate. He's standing there, and this is from the police interview. He finishes. He's shaking off. He hears... Do you have a problem with me? Zimmerman wheels around or twirls, one of the two, I forget which word they use. He either twirled or wheeled. He put the gun up into an area of, Trayvon's body. I don't know if it was his belly, but he shoved it right up there. Boom, 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 okay? Those are eight shots.
Eight shots. The last time that you talked to me before the break.
I feel like I got the phone right up to my ear. I can hear you.
Okay, the last time you talked to me before the break, it was like boom, 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 something like that.
No, it was. No, I was just describing to you the action, but it was like boom, 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 boom. And you know as well as I do that not only can you, 9 millimeter, a lot of them are 9-shot clips. There are some that are 15 shot. The Israeli 5 is an 18-shot clip. And we think that...
Well, wait a minute. They got the caliber of the weapon, right?
Well, yeah, they do. But I don't know what the caliber was. If it's an Israeli 5, you're talking about a cannon. It's like a hand cannon. And that means that Zimmerman wheeled around after shaking... Oh, I shouldn't say that, but...
Okay.
He urinated, and he's... zipping up, and he wheels around with an Israeli 5, boom, 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 boom. Eight shots.
That's 9.
No, it was 8 shots.
Well, you just went boom, 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 boom.
Okay, boom, 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 3. Boom, boom, boom. Hold on. Boom, boom.
It, trust me, it was 9 shots.
Well, whatever it was bad. And now they're going to say he's a drug addict.
All right, let me go to a phone call here in Lancaster, California, right? Okay, here is Austin. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yeah, Phil, I'm a little amazed. I don't know how you... there's some questions need to be asked here by this gentleman. First of all, sir, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, sir, but you haven't answered the question, the most pivotal question. Where are you getting the number of shots that has been fired? Because you're saying,
well, I'm taking this from a police. The police said that. What
did the police say? I think that's a good place to start.
I've been telling you, sir.
The only thing you've said so far tonight, and I've been listening since Mr. Hendry had you on. You said that they found THC. Is that what you said, sir?
Yes, I said that the coroner said they found THC, but, and I can tell that you're probably, on George Zimmerman's side, and you're probably taking that to mean, he's a hard,
I'm not drawing any conclusions at all. I don't think because you spoke marijuana that makes you a hard and fast thug, but I just wanted to know if it was THC or was it a different drug, because I live up in an area of L.A. County where we've got more than enough. Thank you very much. More than enough meth addicts. We got more meth labs up here than we got people. Okay?
Well, that's very nice, but we are not talking about someone who's on meth.
Well, I'm not talking about, but I'm just saying. You can't. I know what you mean about being prejudiced, because I've got friends that are meth addicts, and I've got very dear family members that are dear to me that have sores, open running sores, on their faces from meth. So I know that drugs do not necessarily make you a thug. They can make you look like one, and that might have been a problem.
Well, I don't know
Tell me about that. I think that's a good point, Austin. What do you mean?
Well, if he smoked some marijuana and he's slinking down the street, if you have seen, because like I said, we've got meth labs, we've got I've seen every kind of hophead and pillhead. I've seen them all that come up here, and you know, they pack that Stinky Pete wine. A lot of them empty out a Darvon capsule and mix and match. So I've seen every kind of drug addict. And what they'll do is, you know, they, you smoke some weed, you look like a drug addict, that's all. No, I don't think you do, and I think that that's very ignorant. And you say, what do you mean ignorant?
Well, all right, so in other words, if a guy smokes some weed, he's walking on the street, he looks like he's on drugs?
Yeah, I think so. But again, how many shots, when he got, you said he got out and he went to the bathroom, correct? Yes, sir, George Zimmerman did. All right, any man that has stopped to urinate knows that's 30 seconds. Then you said he shook off. That doesn't take more than maybe 5 seconds. And then you said he wheeled about or wheeled. I said he either twirled or wheeled. Okay, so he twirled. If you twirl, that means you spin. If you wheel, that means you're stepping toward. And it sounded, well, then I think he twirled because it obviously caught the kid by surprise. Trayvon Martin said, may I help you? And the next thing you know, he's got an Israeli 5 pointed at his throat. And
No, man. Don't give out information that you don't yet have.
Yeah, this guy's been doing that the whole time you talked to him, Phil. And what information am I giving out?
What do you mean an Israeli 5, man? Give out information that is absolutely true, that the police have verified, not what you think.
I'm telling you, if they said boom, 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 that's an 18-shot clip. That what you did there, maybe 10 shots. You still do that in a 15-shot clip. Well, yeah, but you wouldn't have the confidence to go boom, 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 because you know you'd only have 5 shots left.
All right, hold on. The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. As we talk about the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, and that entire very, very tragic and unfortunate and ultimately deadly situation. We'll be right back.
Boom, 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 boom.
Will you shut up?
Boom.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On Phil TV and HD right now, we are showing a Desert Eagle 50 caliber handgun. The reason why we're showing this, is this what you are claiming, Mr. Wheeler, was used by George Zimmerman?
I'm saying that boom, 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 boom. You know, I don't know. I think, yes, I think it's the Desert Eagle. And that's why I call it an Israeli 5. It's a 50 caliber. And
you have no information as to whether or not that gun was used, do you?
I think we could make an educated guess.
No, we can't make an educated... You're the guy that's sitting there with the information from the police and from the coroner. And you can't tell me what gun he used.
I'm here to tell you the following thing, Mr. Henry, if you'll listen to me for 5 seconds, please.
All right.
I'm here to tell you that Trayvon...
And by the way, why do you call him by his first name?
I beg your pardon?
Why do you call the man who was killed here exclusively by his first name? Why not Mr. Martin? Why not using... It sounds to me like you're giving the appearance that you have great sympathy for him, which is not...
Well, of course I've got great sympathy for him. He was someone's son. And
well, George Zimmerman's someone's son.
Mr. Henry, I'm not here to countenance... The apologists for George Zimmerman. Not gonna happen. I'm not a
George Zimmerman apologist. I'm trying...
Well, it sounds like that to me.
I'm trying to present an objective point of view here, sir. I'm trying to give the who, what, the when, where, and the why, and then we can give some opinion. You know, so far we are precious short on facts. You're telling me that this guy... Boom, boom. I still don't know how many shots were fired.
I'm telling you that if...
Look,
just hear me out, mister. If George Zimmerman had an Israeli Eagle.
Okay, if George Zimmerman had a 50 caliber handgun.
Yes, if he did, you don't think that's plausible?
this man was the block captain for the neighborhood watch, and he was very much a police groupie and a gun nut. And
I don't like the term gun nut either. Why? He owned guns?
Yes, he owned guns.
That doesn't make you a gun nut. Okay? I maybe a police groupie. I can understand that.
Well, if you own... Why doesn't that make you a gun nut?
If you own guns, it doesn't make you a gun nut. You collect them. You like them. You may use them for a variety of hunting. So, you know, self-defense. Who knows? But I want to move on here.
You can't move on now, not with a statement like that, not with an explosive statement like that. You're walking around with a 50 caliber Israeli Eagle, and...
You don't know that, and I'm not going to have you continue to say that that was the case.
All right, but if it was, and he stuck that right up in a... Let's for the moment assume that he stuck it right into Trayvon Martin's belly, fired off, boom, 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 and then stood over him and said... Something like, yeah, you've just been shot in the belly. Hurts, doesn't it? Let's say he did that. I think that is as sadistic and...
Are you out of your mind? You are coming up...
Mr. Henry, will you hear me out? Because you've had people interrupting throughout...
No, I'm not going to let you go on with this. You're creating scenarios here that you have no foundation in fact.
Did you hear the thing that I said right at the beginning before I said... Before I said what I was going to say, I said another thing right in front of it. Did you hear that?
Did I hear what?
Did you hear what I said at the beginning before I said what I said? I said, okay, let's say.
No, we're not going to let's say. We're not going to let's say.
Why not? Everybody is talking about Trayvon Martin. Well, you know, he was wearing a hoodie, must be a thug. Well, you know, he was drinking, he had a Skittle and he had a tea. That's thug food. And
what do you mean, thug food?
Oh, that's what everyone's saying. That's what thugs, you know, that's what gangbangers eat. Skittle and the tea. And so I'm saying, all right, if you want to do that, if you want to play that game, okay, if you want to play that game of jump rope, well, guess what? I'm going to come out of my mother's house, and I've got some chalk. And we'll do a little hopscotch, okay? And I'm saying...
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying, Mr. Henry... let's just for a moment, if you'll just let me, this scenario. George Zimmerman takes a leak, shakes off, around comes Trayvon Martin, boom, 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 leans over the kid as he falls to the ground dying and says, you just got shot in the belly, hurts, doesn't it?
And okay, you want to say that why?
Why... What is the hostility?
I want to know why it is you want to paint that scenario as having happened. Why?
I think reasonably, if you're walking around with a Desert Eagle 50 cal, and
which he was not.
How do you know?
I've never heard any mention of him having a handgun like that. There's no mention at all. I've been asking you. You've been down there. You haven't told me.
I'm saying to you, if.
Well, all right. Here's one. If, Dean, you are 20 years younger. That makes you 15, and if you're not married, that means you don't have a wife or kid, and you don't own your own business, and you don't own your own home, and let's just pretend you're 15 and you're an idiot.
Okay.
In fact, I don't have to pretend.
All right, so what you're doing now is you want to personally assault me.
Well, I think that that's what you've been doing to George Zimmerman.
No, that's what you want to do is you want to personally assault me.
That's what you've been doing to Mr. Zimmerman. I got a 50 caliber. Boom, 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 boom. Hurts, doesn't it? Just got shot in the belly. Every kind of crazy scenario that has nothing to do with reality.
I told you that these were scenarios.
877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Dean Wheeler.
Yes, Phil. This man, I think you made a very good point, Phil. This man is absolutely irresponsible. He has said that a certain caliber weapon was used, and we have no evidence of that. Sir, can you shut your mouth while I'm talking?
Fine.
Shut your mouth! I didn't say... Shut up!
All right, okay. Just be quiet for a second here, Dean.
Be quiet for a second. I've been listening to you, and you talk about the last guy on the show was talking about somebody choking on throw up. I've almost choked on my own throw up listening to you. And now I'm going to say, and you have done exactly to George Radelman what you said should not be done to this man, Martin.
His name is George Zimmerman.
Shut your mouth!
It's Mr. Hendry.
I'm sorry, Phil. Boy, you are wound really tight, aren't you, old man? I swear to God, if you don't shut up...
Let this guy finish, okay? It's not George Radelman.
Who is George Radelman? George Radelman was a quarterback. You are a liar. You are a liar.
George Radelman was a football player. I don't know what position he played.
George Radelman was a football player, and he shot this kid, didn't he?
No. George Radelman is not alive anymore.
All right. So let me again say, blown it. You blew it. Let me again say, because you're the rudest son of a bitch I've ever heard in my life, I swear to God. There's no evidence that he had a 50 caliber handgun. There's no evidence that he went boom, boom, or whatever you said he did. There's no evidence that he was urinating. There's no evidence that he was shaking off and that he twirled or that he whirled or that he spun or that he pirouetted.
Well, now you want to make him sound as if he's gay.
No, you're the one that made him sound gay. And you've made a mockery of the police work done here.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Phil.
You know, I don't understand why you can't understand this. I don't want to talk about theoreticals. I don't want to talk about what might have been. I don't want to talk about what could have been. I don't want to say. That's all you want to do.
Phil, I'm down here in Orlando. I'm covering this trial, all right, for the Bay Area environment. For the Atmospheric, which is our environmental newspaper, where I live in Novato.
Well, I'm sorry, what is it called?
It's called the Bay Area Atmospherics.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a newspaper. And I was told to go and cover the trial. That's what I'm doing. But I don't think you can cover a trial like this unless you allow yourself to imagine... some of the scenarios, and one of them is Zimmerman swirling about. And
what does swirling mean?
I mean he's almost doing a full spin. Boom, 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 boom.
How many shots?
Between 5 and 10.
With an Israeli 50?
Or not?
Or not. All right, we'll be right back here.
Well, you're leaving this. You're making me sound like, somebody's yelling cut, and they're tossing me a towel.
And just hang on for a minute, will you? On the line with me is Dean Wheeler as we talk about George Zimmerman and the complete and utter. And if this is an example of the kind of irresponsible reporting that's going to be going on around that trial, forget it. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You just got shot in the belly. It hurts, doesn't it?
Phil, we have on the line with us Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and your phone calls now, more of your phone calls, I should say, as we talk about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, and we've had an awful lot of speculation here, which I do not think helps anybody, especially when it comes to an explosive situation like this. Here is Bill. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, I just want to bring some facts to this very speculative conversation that we're having here. Fact of the matter is, under our Constitution, George Zimmerman is afforded the presumption of innocence until proven guilty.
In a courtroom, but that doesn't mean we can't have an opinion. Are you saying
your opinion is not fact? And also, it is George Zimmerman.
Well, that's not what you said.
You
said
supported that right under the Constitution of the United States of America. Maybe
in
you
a courtroom.
Said,
in a courtroom. It doesn't mean
no,
you don't
everywhere.
Have opinions.
We
no,
are endowed with certain inalienable rights. Life,
no,
liberty,
wrong.
The pursuit of happiness.
So I don't get to have an opinion.
Equal protection under
so
the law.
So we don't
how
get to have opinions.
How can you cry
so we don't get to have
Trayvon and deny
so we can't get to have opinions.
You're a fruitcake.
So we don't get... No, you're the fruitcake. You're saying we don't have free speech. That's the stupidest
we
thing
have
I've ever
free
heard
speech.
Of.
But
no,
you can't
not,
go
not
to,
according
you
to you.
Can't go to a movie
not
theater
according
and yell
to you.
Fire. You can't incite a race riot.
I can say if a man is guilty. Did you think O.J. was guilty? Did you think O.J. was guilty?
Show me that.
You were saying you were running around saying O.J. was guilty. You were running around saying O.J.
prop up and defer from the real issues.
You were that. If I said that George Zimmerman was innocent, if I said that George Zimmerman was innocent.
All right, you guys are not listening to each other, and so nobody's hearing anything either one of you guys is saying. Okay.
He's trying to say that I don't have a right to an opinion.
He's saying that your opinion needs to be responsibly formed.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. That the man's innocent until. No, you did not. No, you didn't. You're lying.
Guilty.
You're lying.
How can you cry for
well, all right, let's,
hold on.
We gotta differentiate, though. Yes, you're right. A man is innocent till proven guilty. You're absolutely right. But that doesn't mean that people are not going to get together and talk about the case and
correct.
Their opinion of someone's guilt or innocence. I mean, take a look at O.J. During the whole trial, don't talk when Phil's talking. Don't ever do that. Just before the O.J. trial, there's a lot of people saying he was guilty. During the trial, there's a lot of people saying he was guilty.
That's right. That's exactly right, Phil.
All right. Well, but now the bigger issue
the
here,
fact
though,
of the, matter is,
the bigger issue is, hold on, guilty. Shut up. You both of you guys shut up. The bigger issue here is that you're saying stuff here, Dean, about boom, 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 and Israeli 50, and he shook off.
Let me ask both of you guys a question. How long does it take you to shake off after you urinate?
Hey,
it takes
you
a long time.
How do you know that he's a two-second guy?
This guy is saying that he couldn't have had time to, you know, go boom, 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 because he was shaking off.
Where do you hear this shaking off stuff?
But where do you even get, what does he even get these facts?
I'm saying that it is legitimate speculation, okay?
No, it is not. No, it's not legitimate speculation. You don't have any evidence. You don't have any evidence that there was a 50 used. You don't have any evidence the guy was urinating. You don't have any evidence he was shaking off.
Mr. Henry, I gave you either a twirling or whirling scenario.
I don't even know what that means.
It means it fits his profile, which makes him feel better about dating George Zimmerman and
okay.
making him guilty in the public eyes.
Oh, well, isn't that what you're doing, only the other way? You're saying that Trayvon Martin's a thug because
he wore a
hood? I
didn't say that, sir. I said, how about if we afford George Zimmerman justice just as we want it for Trayvon Martin? I want justice for everybody. But I won't.
I know, but you can't do that.
Get a lynch mob and condemn a man until he's convicted by a jury of his peers. That's what our Constitution guarantees us.
But you can't do that, okay, when it was boom, 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 boom.
Where are you getting the boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
man?
Maybe
where are you getting that?
Cannabis himself.
Oh, okay. See, I knew the drugs would come into it. And that's what's going to happen in this trial. They're going to say, oh, Trayvon Martin
had
THC.
The only person on drugs here is you.
No, the coroner said that Trayvon Martin had
How do you know
THC.
That wasn't his contact high? How do you know he wasn't going to church? You know, we don't know any of that stuff. It's all speculation.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Show me the
You don't
fact.
Know anything about it.
Well, they're going to, but the defense, George Zimmerman's lawyer is going to say that he was an addicted black.
Oh, come on, man. And this is why
is.
This trial.
It's all about right. Hey, did anyone mention that Trayvon was 6'1" and that George Zimmerman was a tiny little guy? That his arm reach was probably significantly longer than George Zimmerman's?
Oh, okay. So then you shoot a guy?
That attacked the black man?
So you shoot a guy? I'm sure. you shoot a guy. Just because he said,
did the Fury godmother come down and put all those cuts and bruises on George Zimmerman? Where did those come from?
Oh, he really looked bad.
Did that happen
really
while he was shaking
you ever
it
seen
off
a guy?
Toilet?
Have you ever seen a guy get beat up? I got beat up one night.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Hey, thank you very much,
Bill. Thank you, sir, very much for your call. I appreciate it. And, keep a... What do you mean you got beat up one night?
I was out of my mind on mushrooms. And I hit on a guy at a party.
Uh-huh. Are you bisexual?
No, I am not. No, I am not. No, I am not. But I got my ass kicked. And I mean, what I remember of it, it lasted about 5 minutes.
You got your ass beat for 5 minutes, huh?
That's the part I remember. And
now, that seems like an extreme reaction. You hit on the guy?
Well, I was out of line. I grabbed him.
Are you? You're not gay. You're not bisexual.
No, Phil. I'm married. I've got 3 daughters. I was out of my mind on mushrooms.
All right. So what did you look like? You look pretty bad, huh?
Yeah. Did you ever see? Well, I told you. You saw Dirty Harry.
You looked like that guy in Dirty Harry.
Yes, I did. And my face was swollen like that guy, and it was completely wrecked. And I said to the guy, he wasn't black, but he was Mexican. And I said, and the guy said to me, "You really want $300 worth, huh?" And
wait. Why did he say that?
It was just a figure of speech. And I said, "Every penny, you Mexican son of a bitch."
And so, as a result of you getting your ass kicked, you looked like that cat in Dirty Harry with the face all jacked over.
Yes. And that's why I know what you look like when you get your ass beat. George Zimmerman looked pretty compared to me. Well, Mr. Hendry, I know you enough to know that your laughter is an insult to every God-fearing...
Look, you know, I don't mean to interrupt you. I find it just amusing that two strangers at a party...
No, I knew the guy. He was a friend of mine.
All right. Great move. I don't even want to know what you did to piss him off.
I told you I hit on him sexually.
Okay. Anyway, you two guys started doing lines from Dirty Harry.
He said, "You really want $300? That's after he kicked my ass for about 5 minutes.
And then you said, "Every penny, you Mexican son of a bitch."
Yes. You know what? Never mind, Phil. I hope you die. I hope you die. But not anytime soon. I hope you live to be really old, urinating on your couch.
That's actually a bad thing. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Every penny.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And that's just where it's at. And our show is here for you online as well at philhendryshow.com. You can watch live streaming video of the show. And we have the Phil TV videocast, as a matter of fact. So the show is videocast live every night, and you can watch it on Phil TV. You can also listen to the podcast the next day by going to philhendryshow.com and downloading the Daily Show podcast. And if you'd like, we have thousands of hours going back over a decade of archived Phil Hendry radio, the largest single radio show archive anywhere in the world. And we say that without really being able to prove it. But I'd love to see somebody prove me wrong, and I mean that. We have more in our archives for our radio show than any other radio show anywhere. So that's what you get with a backstage pass, and we invite you to join us there. On Monday, we'd like you to join us over at philhenryradio.com when we debut our new podcast, The Phil Henry Show, the free Phil Henry Show podcast, and that starts on Monday. So we gave you some of the more important news. What do you guys think of that, bud?
Wait, back the guy, boom, boom, boom?
No, I should have said about... What is this, Robert?
This is more interesting than Van Halen. Well, I mean, Van Halen, I found this fascinating. Yeah, it's very interesting. Read that.
Flesh-eating bacteria consumed a man's penis after surgery. Oh, God.
Isn't that fascinating? That's fascinating.
Are you guys serious?
I'm not making it up. There it is.
Flesh-eating bacteria consumes a man's penis. You know, and this is in Florida.
Yeah, that's the part I thought was pretty sad, man. You know, I thought, hell, I fit a bud. Look at this story, man. Maybe this is the Philippines or something, you know.
Yeah, a lot of time the Philippines is where that's going to happen.
The Philippines, huh? It's kind of putting them down, isn't it?
Well, you know, like Asia where they got a lot of swamps and stuff.
This is in Doral, Florida. A man suing. Let me get my glasses. A man is suing, and I don't blame him. If you're going to sue, this is probably the time. He is suing after a major medical mistake left him disfigured. He gave testimony Thursday that revealed the intimate details of this poor man's misery. Late Thursday afternoon, Enrique Mila testified at the Miami-Dade County Courthouse from his new home in Lima, Peru, via Skype. He said he wanted a penile implant to improve his sex life in 2007. About a year before I realized I had problems, Mila said through a translator. I had problems having intimate relations with my wife. As time went by, the problem got worse. Mila's attorney argues that an anesthetologist overlooked his client's pre-existing medical conditions, which resulted in Mila having no more external, oh my God, male genitalia.
Yeah, man.
That boy, you talk about your malpractice.
Will you shut up, bud? According to the lawyer, Mila should have never been allowed to undergo elective penile implant surgery to treat erectile dysfunction back in August of 2007. The anesthetologist involved in the surgery, Dr. Laurentia Baru, should have never allowed the surgery, the attorney said, because Mila had an extreme case of diabetes and high blood pressure, and his blood sugar levels were way too high on the day of his surgery. He had not seen a doctor in 15 years until that point. Did he take your blood pressure? Asked the attorney of Mila. No, he responded. Did he take your blood sugar, which would be a glucose tolerance test?
What's that?
A glucose tolerance test is essentially looking at one's how the body is processing sugar. And the answer to that question was no. Mila's attorney, Spencer Ehrenfeld, has argued that his client should have never been allowed to have a penile implant due to his uncontrolled diabetes. You know, diabetes can get so severe that people do have amputations.
Of their penis?
I've never heard of that. That's not why this man was... But the blood supply is already threatened in extreme cases of diabetes in some cases. Some people, the blood supply is so... scant, if you will, to a part of the body that there have been toes, had to be amputated, fingers, things like that.
Yeah, but this guy had like a, does it give you a flesh-eating bug?
Yeah, maybe diabetes do that.
No, diabetes doesn't give you the flesh-eating bug. I'm just saying that his blood supply was already compromised. His blood circulation, I should say, was already compromised by the diabetes. Possibly. I'm not a doctor, but... So now the doctor is leaning on this anesthetologist, this Dr. Baru. He argues that his client should never have been allowed to have a penile implant due to his uncontrolled diabetes. He said the one and only person who cleared him for this surgery on that day was Dr. Baru.
Think he said it like that?
Yeah, probably pretty close to that. If I'm standing in a courtroom and I got the evidence that I got and I'm the lawyer, yeah, I think I'd probably be very dramatic too. The one and only guy right there, folks. Boom! Working for the hospital. And he said in our entire case is that at that particular time, he should have said, wait a second, let's treat the medical condition first, which was the diabetes, which was the high blood pressure, and which was the very, very high blood sugar. Baruch swore under oath that his obligations and risks only relate to the anesthesia, not the actual implant of the penis and potential risks. I addressed a small period of time of contact with the patient, which is the preoperative period of time, Baruch said on the stand. My role is stopped when the epidural catheter, that's what you do in obstetrics, is out or the patient is out of recovery. The epidural catheter is the, I believe that's the anesthetic that goes to the spine, or is that's where the entry is. I don't know.
The spot, what are you talking about?
Never mind, man. It's just what knocked the guy out. Mila's problems began. See, I don't understand that, though, man.
Yeah, well, so that's the guy to get the anesthesia. What about the guy putting in the penile implant? Maybe he put it in crooked.
Yeah, what about that?
Maybe he put it in crooked, huh? It says that there was a bacteria, all right?
Where'd that come from?
Well, obviously, it was an infection of some kind. Just listen. Mila's problems began, gangrene, after a gangrene infection spread through his penis about 9 days after the surgery. Oh, my God. Ehrenfeld detailed the traumatic experience his client went through, turned into a flesh-eating bacteria that ate his penis centimeter by centimeter, he said, and as a result of this, he has to spend the rest of his life without a functioning penis. He has to sit down to urinate. He'll never have any intimate relations with anyone, and he's lost his manhood. Now, that's a pretty tough thing for a man to hear, that, you know, who is the recipient, if you will, or is the victim of this thing. But the attorney is doing that for the jury, you know.
Yeah, he's trying to get the jury to feel like, man, that poor guy got screwed over.
Exactly. So he's being very dramatic, and I'm not necessarily saying he's being dishonest, but God, imagine if you're that guy, and you've lost your manhood, you know, oh, man.
That's like in that movie we saw the other night.
Oh, Thin Red Line?
Yeah, it blew my butt off.
All right, but don't make, you know, don't, it's not shtick, okay?
That's what he said, that's what Woody Harrelson said.
I know that's what Woody Harrelson said. Burroughs' attorney will have a chance to question Mila in the coming days. That ought to be very interesting. Then jurors will have to decide if Burroughs acted as his physician and at any point committed any medical malpractice. So why are they not dragging into this courtroom the guy that did the actual surgery? What about the people that allowed the infection, man?
Maybe flesh-eating bacteria, there's no way to kill it.
Well, that's bull crap. There's got to be some kind of antibiotic or antibacterial treatment. How did it get to be gangrene? Anyway, I'm glad we're done with that story. Thanks a lot for bringing that to my attention. God.
Did it bum you out?
Well, it's not exactly put me in a mood, you know.
What's the matter, man? Are you afraid you're going to get eaten away?
Shut up. I am I afraid it's going to get eaten away? I'm afraid yours has already been eaten away.
My penis?
No, your brain. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. It's our news and information hour. A lot of news to get through. Mitt Romney aides are ripping the new Obama ads. What are they saying? What's going on there? We'll find out. And other very interesting bits of information. Sammy Hagar, as you know, we mentioned, came out and commented on the the suspension of that tour. So let's find out what Sammy Hagar had to say about Van Halen's tour being suspended. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. Famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you eating?
Ham sandwich.
What are you eating?
Yeah, I got a ham sandwich too.
How can you guys eat?
What are you talking about? You made a ham sandwich with mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with you, man?
Oh. A ham sandwich with.
What's wrong, man? I'm hungry.
Yeah, pretty good. Got that spicy mustard too.
You guys are eating after we just. That flesh-eating bacteria thing?
Yeah.
What about it?
Let me have some of that mustard.
Get the food out of here, man. You guys are going to make me throw up.
Don't choke on your own throw up.
Uh-huh. God.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, man, when you're talking about choking on a throw up, do you remember that group AC/DC?
Do I remember them? They're still around.
Oh, yeah. That, blah, blah, yeah. But you remember that, what the guy?
Yeah, Bon Scott.
Yeah, Bon Scott, the lead singer.
Yes, I do.
He threw up on a vomit.
Yeah, he threw up on his own vomit.
He threw up on his own vomit, huh?
Yeah.
Did you hear what you idiots just said?
What?
He threw up on his own vomit.
I mean, he choked on his own vomit.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to tell you is, he didn't just choke on his... He choked on a baby carrot.
Yeah, that's kind of gay, don't you think?
What are you talking about?
Bon Scott choked on a baby carrot.
Will you shut up and eat your ham sandwich? It's gay. Everything with you guys is gay, I'm telling you, man.
Mm-mm. Pretty damn good, isn't it?
Yeah, and for 50 cents, man. Mm.
Oh, God, how you guys can eat. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour. Jurors in the John Edwards trial asked to see exhibits. Ta-da! Yes, it's the John Edwards trial again. God, I hope it... Here we go. Greensboro, North Carolina, they request a... Now, I guess, is the jury got this thing? I guess they do. The jurors who will decide the fate of the former presidential candidate John Edwards deliberated for more than 4 hours Friday before breaking for the weekend in a trial focused on complex campaign finance laws and lurid details of Edwards' extramarital affair. The jury of 8 men and 4 women must decide whether Edwards knowingly conspired to violate federal election laws. What?
Man, that's good that only 4 women's on that thing.
Yeah, at least he's got 8 men. It's going to be more fair.
You don't know that. That doesn't mean anything, man. What, just because they're guys, they go, oh, yeah, John, the old guys club? No, 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 uh-uh.
What, are you trying to tell me if you're a man, you wouldn't try to help him out?
Who? Why? Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Will you wipe your mouth, please?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm wiping my mouth.
With news copy? Give me that. God, it's all over my hands, man.
Get off the napkin.
Why don't you guys bring napkins in here instead of wiping your mouth with news copy?
Yeah, man. You know I'm gonna get that root beer?
I'll go get a couple.
Anyway, in the story here...
You want the Dad's or A&W?
Will you shut up with the root beer?
Sorry.
Hey, can you eat quietly, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, the jury of 8 men and 4 women must decide whether Edwards knowingly conspired to violate federal election laws as part of a scheme to cover up his affair with videographer Riel Hunter during his campaign for the 2008 Democratic presidential nomination.
Yeah, it's the longest sentence I ever heard.
Man, talk about your run on... senses. Anyway, the jurors requested several government exhibits, including a recorded phone message from Edwards and a handwritten note from heiress Rachel Bunny Mellon. Dear John, I dream of your implant... I'm kidding. I'm joking. Don't. Come on. You got mayonnaise and mustard all over this, too. Guys, don't grab news copy, especially when you're eating in the studio, which we know is a no-no.
You eat in here all the time.
I get to, because I'm the host.
Not fair.
Maybe not. Anyway, the jurors requested several government exhibits, including a recorded phone message from Edwards and a handwritten note from heiress Rachel Bunny Mellon. They also asked for markers and a board, suggesting they were settling in for a detailed examination of evidence from 4 weeks of testimony. It didn't seem like it was a very long trial. I guess we're used to all of those murder trials that go on for months sometimes. Edwards, age 58, has been charged with 6 counts of violating federal election laws. He faces up to 30 years in prison and $1.5 million in fines.
You think he's going to go to prison?
Yeah, if he's guilty?
Yeah.
I think he's going to do some jail time, yeah.
But how long do you think he's going to be in for?
I don't know. Sometimes I can't see this guy, if he's guilty, I can't see John Edwards getting away with not going to jail, but... It depends on this jury and the judge, you know, what the penalties are in North Carolina. I mean, if it's bad, you know the tenor of the times, the climate, the American people have had it with this campaign finance horse dung. We've had it with these scumbags. I think this cat could go away for a while. 30 years? I don't think so. Prosecutors contend that Edwards solicited $925,000 from Mellon and the late Fred Barron, a wealthy Texas lawyer and an Edwards supporter. The payments, funneled through Edwards' aide Andrew Young, were intended to hide Hunter and their baby and thus save Edwards' campaign from collapsing in scandal. All right. And yet, so what makes that illegal is that he's telling Bunny Mellon and Fred Barron, hey, how about contributing to my campaign, when in point of fact, it was not. Some of the money was paid to fly Hunter and Young and his family around the country and to put them up in exclusive hotels and expensive apartments as they fled National Enquirer reporters determined to expose the affair. The rest was siphoned off by Young and his wife to help build a $1.6 million mansion and to finance vacations and shopping sprees. Now, $925,000, where the hell are they getting a $1.6 million mansion?
Maybe just like a down payment.
How much money are we talking about here? We're talking about, I know what they told, I thought it was a hell of a lot more than $925,000. Anyway, Edwards' lawyers say the payments were private. Now, this is what Edwards says. The payments were private gifts used to hide the ongoing affair and baby from Edwards' wife, Elizabeth. Now, that sounds like a real scumbag, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Edwards' lawyers are saying, no, these are private gifts that were used to hide the baby and the affair from Elizabeth. These were not campaign contributions that were thus used illicitly. So Edwards' people are saying he's a douchebag and he's a piece of crap. And as soon as we're done with this case and we get paid, of course, then we won't have anything to do with them and we'll probably need antiseptic to wash our hands with. However, he didn't do anything illegal because these were gifts, as in here, John, let me give you some money, and this has nothing to do with you being president. And, you know, and here's some money so you can hide this chick from Elizabeth.
Man, they never think people are crazy or stupid.
Yeah, pretty much both. Edwards' lawyers say the payments were private gifts to hide the ongoing affair and baby from Edwards' wife, Elizabeth, this poor girl, Elizabeth Edwards. Good God. Edwards cheated on his wife and lied about it, his lawyers told jurors this week, but he did not break any laws because the payments were not campaign contributions. That's in a nutshell. And they've basically said already, yeah, Edwards is, you know, he's a piece of garbage, and make sure you delouse after you sit in a room with him. However, we're very proud to say he didn't break any laws.
Man, that's like saying, you know, my client did not break any laws. That's like saying my client takes a shower every day, even though he smells like B.O.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
You don't get that? Neither do I.
Yes, you do. You just said you did.
Never mind, okay? My client takes a shower every day, even though he smells like B.O. No, that didn't make any sense. Young, who wrote a tell-all book about the affair, testified for the government under a grant of immunity. Prosecutors conceded that Young had lied in the past, but they said his testimony implicating Edwards is supported by phone records and other witnesses. It's because we always have that problem, you know. Is this guy a dirtbag? Is he lying just to get himself out of trouble? Well, you got to have some corroboration there, baby. You know, a little bit of that woo-hoo, a little corroboration. That's how Sammy the Bull, everybody said that Sammy the Bull Gravano was a piece of garbage, which may be or may not be the case. I'm sure he's a very fine man and just got caught up in a very bad lifestyle. I'm kidding. But they were able to corroborate his testimony. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with more on this. You know, we're going to keep picking through this pit called the John Edwards trial. We'll be right back. Smells like B.O.
Yeah, but he had a shower.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Henry.
Here Kind of interesting conversation here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our news and information hour. I'm kind of talking with Bud and with Dan and Robert about this Edwards thing. And
you said that even when you were having an affair with a lady, you'd break it off.
What do you mean by break it off?
If my wife was dying of a disease and I was enough of a douchebag that I was involved with somebody else, I would say goodbye, thank you very much.
To your wife?
No, you idiot, to the woman that I'm having the affair with.
Oh.
I'd say thanks, because I wouldn't be able to do anything other than spend all of my time taking care of her. If it was terminal, if she somehow recovered, who knows? And
yeah, well, the press is still going to find out.
You know what? Then I take my chances. What he should have done was been born somebody else. That's what he should have done. But
You can't do that. Your mom's going to pick out. Well, not even your mom.
You take it easy, bud, and not take everything so literal. So in any event, your mom picks it out.
Don't she pick out what you're going to be?
Who? Your mom? How do you know? No, of course not. She gives birth to you. That's all you can ask her. She picks out who you're going to be. What I'm trying to tell you, idiots, is that Edwards should have said to this Riel Hunter, get lost. My wife is ill. My hands are full with a presidential campaign. And you guys are saying, well, the press is still going to find out. Of course the press is still going to find out. Of course they are. This is the American press. This is the most voracious press in the history of the world. The American press has taken down game way bigger than John Edwards. And John Edwards thought that he was going to play them? Oh, that's funny. That's real funny. When he said hubris, he wasn't kidding. Edwards thought that he was going to take an American press that had taken down a president of the United States, that had forced the president to resign. And Edwards was going to take them on, and he was going to come out smelling like a rose. Where do you get your you-know-whats, man?
The guy's dumb.
Dumb? Well, it's the kind of dumb that comes from ego. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is, and in a campaign season, these guys, these reporters, they're just looking to chew somebody up and spit them out. They can't wait. I don't know whether it's moral. I don't know whether it's right. I don't know whether it's the way the American media has been, and it's the way the American media will continue to be, and we taught the world, you know. And it seems like every bloody campaign cycle, there is somebody getting eaten up and spit out, man. Something, they find out something. And it's been going on since I was a kid. It's been going on ever since I can remember, man.
You remember, like, you were a kid, they were doing it?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, when I was in high school, they were running the 68 election. I'm in high school. And Edmund Muskie, you guys don't know who this guy was, a senator from Maine. He was running for president. And my God, if they didn't take on Edmund Muskie's wife, they took on Edmund Muskie's wife. Now, this was in a 1968 campaign where Robert Kennedy was running, Hubert Humphrey was running. I don't know who the hell else. Robert Kennedy eventually was killed here in Los Angeles. And Hubert Humphrey, who is about the most blasé candidate you could possibly, was like Lyndon Johnson times, I don't know. It was like Lyndon Johnson minus a few points. But anyway, Muskie, I never did figure this one out. In fact, I had to go back and do some research on it. One of the New Hampshire papers said that, get a load of this, Edmund Muskie's wife smoked cigarettes and drank bourbon out in the open like some kind of a, you know.
Like she's a slut or something?
Yeah, they made it sound like she's some kind of a slut. And she was very opinionated and, oh, man. I mean, you talk about a real Harper Valley PTA tight-ass view. And that basically forced Muskie out.
Did they call his wife a slut?
They didn't use the word slut, but they basically said, what's with your wife anyway, Muskie? I mean, she's, what about it? Well, she's smoking. And I remember Muskie having to stand on the steps. He went to the actual newspaper offices. It was the day of the New Hampshire primary, and he cried. And he said, my wife is a good woman, and this is a terrible smear on her, and how dare you say these things. And it was a man trying to defend his wife. Unfortunately, it wasn't the greatest public exhibition of, well, dare I say, manhood. And Muskie was pretty much washed up from there, man. But the American media, if you think you're going to play these guys, if you think you're going to, oh, I'll hide it from them. Don't worry about it, baby. This is not back in the day when Roosevelt was being propped up on a couple of bamboo shoots and, you know, and he was being picked up and carried around, you know, pretending like he could walk. No, this is a whole new thing. So Edwards, anyway, make a long story short, this slob, he decides that he's going to play it that way. And what happens? He gets found out. And he gets sold out to by his friends. Andrew Young, I don't blame the guy. The defense, on the other hand, though, is called Young a pathological liar. A pathological liar, huh? We're talking about John Edwards here, folks, who was telling the American people, I'm telling you right now, I didn't do a damn thing. I'm the son of a miller, a millman, something. I'm the, what is a miller? It's a, you don't know who a miller is? Zeke Miller? My name is Edwards, but I'm the son of a miller. Oh, I see. So your real name is John Miller. Yes. Young, who wrote a tell-all book about the affair, testified for the government under a grant of immunity. They're calling him a pathological liar. They're sitting next to this guy, Edwards. Defense testimony also showed that the Federal Election Commission did not require the Edwards campaign to report the payments as campaign contributions even after Edwards was indicted. Really? The phone message... Well, I don't know whether they were or not, bud.
I'm just going to say, aren't they campaign?
They're saying he didn't have to report the payments because they were not. They were gifts. The phone message requested by jurors Friday was from Edwards to Young. It was recorded in August 2008, just before Edwards and a friend flew to Virginia to meet with Mellon nearly 6 months after Edwards ended his 2008 campaign. After? Woo! Everything's on go, Edwards tells Young in the message. He goes on to say that he'll meet privately with Mellon, making sure you're protected and included. The message ends with, keep your head up, pal. You can do this.
Do what, man?
The money's going to go through Young, and then the money's going to come to Edwards and will continue to be given to Riel Hunter, at least, or it will be expended in the support of Riel Hunter and this baby. 6 months after the guy ended his campaign, this cat is still on the prowl. Prosecutors say the recording is evidence that Edwards knew about the payments and played an active role. The defense says Edwards is referring to his plans to ask Mellon for money for a poverty center that would employ Young. Ain't that convenient?
You don't believe that?
No, I don't believe that. This guy's a liar. Talking about Young being a liar. No, I don't believe it. The note from Mellon to Young, written in April 2007, refers to embarrassing publicity about a $400 haircut Edwards charged as a campaign expense. Mellon offers to pay for such expenses in the future. It is a way to help our friends without government restrictions, Mellon wrote. Mellon, who's 101 with hearing loss and failing eyesight, was not called to testify. Her intent in providing $725,000 is one question jurors must consider in determining whether the payments were campaign contributions or private gifts. Why can't they call her to testify?
She can't hear and can't see.
She can talk, can't she?
Dylan, how's she going to hear the question?
Oh, get out of here, will you? There's got to be some way to communicate with the woman.
If she can't see, then she can't read no message. You could hold up a cue card.
What about that?
What do you mean a cue card?
If you sit down in the stand, and then you hold up a cue card, it says, Ms. Mellon, did you, you know?
Yeah, sure, that's what they're going to do, man. They're going to have her sit in the stand and hold up a cue card.
Well, either that, or they could use flashcards.
Are you guys crazy or something? They're not going to do that. And then secondly, since she can't see and she can't hear, they can't say, you know.
They can speak up, though. My aunt, she's about 61, and she got a feeling. You just go, hey, Aunt Sue. Aunt Sue!
Yeah, I've got to do that my aunt sometime.
So you idiots are saying that go into the courtroom, have this Bunny Mellon sit down and go, hey, Bunny!
What's wrong with that?
Oh, what's wrong with that?
But if it works.
Well, first of all, the judge ain't going to have it. Maybe they'll say, you're not going to walk. Can you hear me, Miss Mellon? Did you give money to John Edwards? Maybe we ought to get Debbie Daly back on.
She'd be the one to talk to about it, that's for sure.
All right, so Mellon has all this hearing stuff, so she's not going to be. Jurors are also asked Friday for a transcript of the testimony of Mellon's lawyer, who recounted his conversation with Mellon about the payments to U.S. District Judge Catherine Eagles.
What?
Oh, then U.S. District Judge Catherine Eagles told the jurors to rely on their memories. So basically, she said, no, you can't see the transcripts. Deliberations resume Monday. Why? Because they wanted the transcript over the weekend. I guess that's... why would she say rely on your memories? I don't know. Well, okay. And this... By the way, this lawyer for Mellon is a... They call this guy... I thought it was the most beautiful... he's like a... Oh, they called him a silk gloves lawyer.
What's that mean?
A silk gloves lawyer... is a guy who, you know, I handle only Ms. Mellon's, you know, I handle only Ms. Mellon's whatever the hell, you know, business.
You talk like that?
Yeah, he probably talks like that. And, you know, I have a very select client. And all he does is he handles her legal stuff, which is, what could it be? You know, her will and her contributions to the charities and maybe, you know, her trusts that she has for people and... It's all very, you know, and like that, man. People hitting her up for dough. He's probably just a catch-all representative. And this guy testified she will not. And she holds the key, man. I don't know why they wouldn't have her testify. All right, we're going to come back, taking a break here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bud Dickman and me, Phil Hendry, and Robert Leonard at our News and Information Hour. And we'll be right back.
Truth and probably is change our the bitch. Subject. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I wanted to play for you a little bit of our live streaming audio.
Now, if you know the Boomtown Rats...
Well, that's some of the live streaming audio from philhendryradio.com. If you go over there right now...
And that song was written as the result of a girl in San Diego, I believe...
That's me talking from the year 2001, I believe. And you can hear that and more at philhendryradio.com. That is live streaming archives there 24-7. It's happening there right now, like... 4 hours of Radio Plus on Monday. That is where we are going to originate our podcast. All right, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go out with a bang here, bud. Don't give me this Romney crap.
That's by Romney ripping an aid on a...
Spit it out.
Obama.
In the wake of a conservative super PAC's aborted plan to resurrect President Obama's controversial former pastor as a campaign issue, oh, God. Mitt Romney's political mastermind yesterday accused the White House of being the first to take the low road by resorting to vicious attack ads, like one portraying the former Bay State governor as a vampire capitalist. President Obama has run 4 or 5 different ads. Each one has had a different message to it. Almost all of them include some kind of negative attack against Mitt Romney, said Eric Fernstrom, a longtime Romney campaign maestro, described in GQ magazine as Romney's Karl Rove-like attack dog. There's a contrast between the negative ads that President Obama's running and the ad that we're running. Well, the Boston Herald sure is doing a little bit of non-reporting here, aren't you, Boston Herald? In the wake of a conservative super PAC supported plan, but then that's the Boston Herald. I mean, that's a decidedly liberal newspaper in terms of their editorial slant. But the gist here, if we can sift through the editorially slanted reporting, the gist here is that both sides are trying to, you know, take the low road again. I don't need to hear about Jeremiah Wright anymore. I'm going to tell you something right now. It doesn't bother me. Now, I've said that I am ready to vote for a Republican. I've said that I would vote for Mitt Romney if he ran. And why? Because I think that is what is called for now. And that's the only reason I'm going to give. You guys can make your own decisions. I think what is called for now perhaps is a stronger fiscal hand than the one that President Obama is willing to administer. I don't find any fault with President Obama's stewardship up to this point, but I think the country needs to be steered a bit more critically these days. And I don't think an eight-year administration is what's called for here. I think perhaps we need now another course correction. However, having said all of that, when I heard Romney's stand on gay marriage, when I heard Romney make the big mistake with Phil Hendry of pandering to the right in his party on that issue, human rights and civil liberties is important to this voter here. You can call me stupid if you want. I understand. So it's fine. I'm just telling you what's important to me. I ain't telling you to vote anyway.
Yeah, people are not going to vote the way you say.
People should not vote the way I'm not going to tell them how to vote. I'm telling you the way I think. And some people may not like the way I think, but I would respectfully submit the following, that my critical thinking when it comes to an election is on a par with just about anybody else's. I don't hear anybody else making decisions in any more of a strenuous or involved manner. That's just my feeling, see? But I will tell you, it's important to me, civil liberties, human rights, that's also part of my thinking. I would vote for Romney in a heartbeat if he were in favor of gay marriage. I would. But I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to vote for Obama. I'm going to vote for Obama because that's an important issue to me. The issue of human rights for gay people. And I don't think President Obama has done such a terrible job in terms of the economy that I won't roll the dice and say, let's go another four in terms of that. I would like to see a more conservative hand fiscally at the helm. Yes, I would. But I don't need a whole lot of other hot air and claptrap and more of this posturing by these right-wingers when it comes to gay people. I'm sick and tired of them, and that means you lose my vote. I'm an independent, and that's what's losing my vote. There are a lot of people who say, I don't give a damn, you know. I'm going to vote for Romney anyway. That's fine. Go ahead. Do it, man. That was the deal breaker for me when I heard him open his big fat yap after Obama said what he said. It wasn't going to make me vote for Obama. If Romney had said, well, you know, I think it goes without saying. But he used that as a dividing line.
But what do you think he's going to say? What if Obama said I'm against the gay?
Well, that would have been wild. That wouldn't have been unexpected. I mean, Obama had been reluctant to, you know, make that. But if Obama had said, no, I'm not down with that. But Romney said he was? Man, that would... Romney probably, not only would he win my vote, he probably would have pulled a whole bunch of Democrats. See, that's the thing Republicans don't... And I guess it's important to them to keep the gays, you know, in line. Because Republicans don't get this. But if they didn't have such a tight ass on some of these issues... These social issues, they'd have far more supporters. Because I always learned, because my father was a Republican, and this is how my dad thought. My old man hated the idea of anybody dragging religion into politics. It made him sick. And so he was always about the economy. And I'm just telling you, I learned about the Republican Party from my father. And his thing was always about money, money, money. Where are we spending the money? How many taxes? This, that. That's why he liked Goldwater. That's why he voted for Nixon. That's why my father was a Republican. The whole gay thing, he didn't give it. They didn't even talk about it. Okay? If Republicans had held true to that, man, they probably would be the number one party in this country right now.
You serious?
I'm dead serious. If the Republicans never got into, forget about their record on civil rights, I think that black voters would have come toward the Republican Party a lot sooner if Republicans weren't so hard-ass on some of these social issues. As it turns out, they've decided to make that part of their, that's where they live, man. Republicans live and breathe that crap. And guess what? At least in this situation here with Phil Hendry, no vote for you guys. I know it probably doesn't distress you. I understand. Nothing personal, you know. But I ain't voting for Romney.
But if he changed his mind, since with the gay, you know what? If I get Phil Hendry, then I'm going to be pro-gay.
Well, if he said that, then I would say, yes, sir. I want Phil Hendry's vote. I'm pro-gay. I'd say, okay, sir, I'm voting for you again. You're right.
Maybe it would. That'd be funny if he did.
Funny, it would be surreal. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget, for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And that, of course, is our Backstage Pass venue and our World Wide Web headquarters. Meanwhile, on Monday, we start our podcast at philhendryradio.com. You can find it on our homepage. There'll be a big banner there to take you on over to philhendryradio.com. I'll see you guys on Monday. Till then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.